Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we observe the celebration of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church throughout the ages has always celebrated the fact that the crucified and risen Christ Jesus has bodily ascended into heaven. Right, we recall the 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, his appearance to the disciples in Jerusalem. We ate with them, taught them, showed them what other signs that he was no longer dead, but very much so alive. And this, well, this is cause of celebration. But there's more. 40 days after Jesus broke the seal of the tomb, he was with his disciples in Jerusalem, and then right in front of their eyes, he bodily ascended into heaven until the clouds blocked him from their view. The disciples, with their feet planted firmly on Jerusalem soil, they craned their neck upward and strained their eyes to see the ascended Christ and Lord, but to no avail. And the church celebrates this? I mean, honestly, doesn't it sound just a little bit strange? I mean, it's a parting. It's a goodbye, right? And parting, such sweet sorrows. I have to confess with you that every time I read the account of our Lord's ascension, my thoughts go to a certain red-caped superhero who had the catchphrase, up, up, and away. And so it kind of seems to me that this is what Jesus was doing right in front of his disciples' eyes. He went up, up, and as the cloud hid him from their sight, well, he was away. While this is a dramatic and quite unusual departure, to be sure, this was not a parting of Christ from his church. It's quite the opposite, as we'll discover. Jesus went up, up, but he is not away. Not now, not ever. And I pray that as we consider the significance of Christ's ascension into heaven, you too will find reason to celebrate this. Now, we heard the readings just a couple moments ago, and I want to share with you a short section of a sermon reflection on the significance of those events that we read about from Scripture. These are written by C.F.W. Walther, our first synodical president. And he wrote, "The more simply we regard the biblical description of this event, the more it strengthens our faith." Now, Scripture does not say that the ascended Christ is confined like his saints. Instead, he fills everything. And it does not tell us that he was received by the heavens, but that he received heaven. Even that he ascended far above the heavens, where he sits at the right hand of God. The Bible conveys the right hand of God to refer to God's omnipotence, omnipresent dominion, his eternality, and his divine majesty. St. Paul declares, "He raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." That's from Ephesians 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're starting to see what the church celebrates. Christ, the crucified one for our sins, and the one who was raised for our justification, does not remain on earth bodily so that he can raise up some sort of earthly kingdom. He does not remain on earth so that he can overthrow Rome and set up some sort of earthly throne or command some sort of earthly army. No, he ascends into heaven and takes his right place at the right hand of the Father. He is seated in a heavenly throne that is above all earthly seats of power and authority. And his reign, it will endure forever. Longer than Rome, longer than any other nations of this world, his church will continue alongside and often in spite of earthly kingdoms until the very end of this age, and then even on to the next. See, Jesus has gone up and up, but he will not be away from his church. He is to fill his church with his Spirit in this age and the next. Walther continues, Christ left the world. He would no longer walk among us as a mortal man, natural, visible, tangible, and spatial, as he once did with his disciples. But let us not conclude that Christ is the king of a kingdom from which he is separated, in which he can only rule at a distance. He is spatially departed from his disciples. With his glorified body, he raised himself higher and higher until the disciples could no longer see him. But as soon as the gate of clouds closed behind him, he entered into a state of divine majesty, appearing full of glory to all angels and saints who were welcoming him with their hymns of triumph. And then, as man, he commenced his almighty and omnipresent dominion over heaven and earth and all creatures. When we consider Christ's ascension according to the clear witness of the Holy Scriptures, we find a certain foundation for a joyful hope. He has not removed himself from his church. Instead, he is now, as God and man, extending his grace, his help, and protection in all places. As Aaron wore on his breastplate the names of the tribes of Israel when he entered the Holy of Holies, so Christ, appearing as the true high priest before God in heaven, wears the names of all believers on his heart. And there, he prays without ceasing for his own, and he rules them, cares for them, and protects them, so that the gates of hell cannot overpower them. Here again, we find reason to celebrate and rejoice. Not only has he received the heavens and dominion over all is creation, but from his throne, he intercedes for his church on earth. And though he's not physically present with his church on earth, he has not left it nor forsaken it. Recall again our Lord's promise to the apostles before his ascension. Jesus said, "Wait for the promise of the Father. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Here's another reason to rejoice and to be glad. Our Lord ascended into heaven in order to send the Holy Spirit. The law and the prophets, they looked forward to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, even back as far as Joel, when he wrote, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit." On Pentecost, just 10 short days from the ascension of the Lord, this promise is fulfilled. The Spirit of Christ came upon the apostles, those men who witnessed Jesus suffer and die to forgive our sins, rise on the third day, and to go up, up, and away into heaven so that he could be present with his church on earth. Here's the thing. From Pentecost until this very day, the kingdom of God has been proclaimed. Beginning from Jerusalem, extending to Judea and even Samaria and to the ends of the world, the good news that the King of creation has come to redeem his creation from the dominion of sin, death, and the devil is continually being proclaimed. And through the preaching of Christ, crucified and risen, the Holy Spirit is breaking down hearts of stone and creating new hearts that believe and that perceive with the eyes of faith that Jesus is indeed the Lord and the King of all creation. And that goes for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. As you hear and believe the message first preached by the apostles, the Holy Spirit is at work in you. As you hear how Jesus suffered and died to forgive your sin, as you are moved to repent of that sin and look with eyes straining toward the cross, there you will see and receive the salvation accomplished for you by the sacrificial death of Jesus. As you hear how Jesus was raised from the dead, and as you yourselves remember your baptism into Jesus' death and his resurrection, as you behold that empty cross and tomb, your hearts are filled with hope, being assured that you will live just as Christ now lives. As you gather in this place and you look to this altar and see with your eyes bread and wine, as you look for strength and for forgiveness of your sins, you behold with the eyes of faith Christ himself present with you to give you exactly what he promised. As we celebrate this meal, we join in the heavenly chorus with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven singing, "Holy, holy, holy." No, dear saints in the Lord, you are not alone. Christ is in the midst of his people, dwelling with you by his word and his sacrament. You are his, and he is your king. You live now, right now, by faith, already in his kingdom. The kingdom. The disciples in Jerusalem asked Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Looking for earthly fixes. With them, we might be asking, "Well, will the fullness of your kingdom now come?" Right? Because we stand here on earth and we see your church persecuted, Jesus. We see the disasters affecting people around the world. We see the effects of sin and death all around us and even within us. Will the fullness now come? As Jesus said to the disciples, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his authority." Well, so he says to you and to me. "No," he says, "the fullness is not yet. But, dear child, my kingdom is come and it has come to you. For I am your king. I have rescued you and redeemed you. And though for a little while you do not see me with your eyes, I promise you, you will. You will see the fullness of my kingdom. You will see the limitless extent of my reign. But see, not until the Father reveals the hour. But now, as I rule and reign over you, live in faith to me. Spend your days living out my love for you as you live in loving service for your neighbor. Speak of me in your home as you walk along the way and as you do the work that I have given you to do. And trust me when I say that I am with you always, even until the end of this age." So, dear people of Christ, lift up your heart. Every day that passes brings us closer to the end of this age. Lift up your eyes. The creation will behold the ascended Christ descend once again in the same way that he went up. Charles Wesley penned a line from his well-known hymn, "Lo, he comes with clouds descending, once for every sinner slain, thousand saints attending, swell the triumph of his train. Alleluia, alleluia, Christ the Lord returns to reign." You say, yes, Charles Wesley, he returns to reign in glory. And though we believe, teach, and confess that we are not simply waiting for Christ to reign, but that in fact Christ is indeed already now reigning. But when the King descends, the fullness of his reign will be seen by all. Then we will not see by faith, we shall all see with eyes remade. The Lord as he dwells with his people in the flesh. We shall see the vast eternal nature of his reign. We will live in the fullness of his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And these bodies, these temples of the Holy Spirit, are raised in power and in glory. And in these bodies, we will celebrate here on earth with a crucified, risen, ascended, and descending King of creation. Christ Jesus may have gone up, but he is certainly not away. Rejoice and be glad. Christ is present with his people, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which is in Christ Jesus, guard your hearts and minds until that great and glorious day. Amen.